This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Today we have a guest with us, Mr. AC Ramos. How are you, AC?
I am awesome, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. So for those of you that don't know who AC is, so AC Ramos is a full-time real estate investor, consultant, mentor, and internet marketing specialist, owner of Prosperity Real Estate Group and Cityscape Investments. He lives in Houston with his beautiful wife, and she's also a rock star, and his family. So, AC, I want to give us a little background on yourself. How did this all get started? I know, you do a lot of wholesaling, and just give us some background.
Yeah, so I have kind of an interesting start to real estate. I was actually coming out of prison for the second time when I was 21 years old.
Wow.
And I had had a first son right after that, and that's kind of what triggered me to never want to do anything that would put me in risk of ever going back to any place like that.
Yeah.
That was, they say you'll do more for your kids or do more for other people than you will. Like, my first son was my inspiration to get out of anything bad. And I was looking for something that could make the kind of money that I wanted to make. And I actually, the first flip I ever did was in 1999. We purchased the house I used to use to run the business out of. Like, it was a friend of mine's house. And so my dope house was actually my first flip.
Oh my gosh.
I rehabbed houses. So that was my first rehab. We bought it for $33,000. It was in Spring Branch area here in Houston. Put $22,000 into fixing it. I partnered with that on my aunt. My aunt's kind of like my mom. So I don't know why she's always believed in me, even though, I guess because I'm like her son, but like, even when she didn't really have real reason to, I guess, but she was my partner on that. We bought that house. For 33, we put 22 into fixing it, and we set the comp in that neighborhood and actually sold it for 84. And that was the very first flip, and, inspired me and made me have that passion for real estate. I already liked real estate, but seeing that you could do that kind of profit on a deal, it was just eye opening to me. So we rehabbed for about 3 or 4 years. And in late 2003, we got stuck in a property that we ended up selling owner finance. Mm. So we were using her 401k or IRA, whatever it was to use to do these properties. And we got stuck in that one. So, when you don't have any more capital to do deals, and we sold it owner finance, so we weren't getting cashed out for 4 years. I didn't know anything about hard money. I didn't know anything about wholesaling. I didn't know anything about private money, even though technically she was a private lender and partner. I ended up losing everything again and ended up living in a storage shed.
Oh my gosh.
No, that was kind of crazy. It was behind my aunt's house and a house that she had. And with my first wife, my ex-wife, and our first son. And I ended up seeing this infomercial on TV one night. It was like late at night. I ran the cable out to that little shed. It was a nice shed, had carpet, everything like that. And the infomercial was like, "You want to learn how to flip houses with no money, no credit, no brains, no experience." And I was like, "That is me." So my aunt went with me to that event. And again, I don't know why she believed in me, but it worked out. She put up $11,000 on a credit card for me to go to a 3-day class on how to wholesale. Because I had my real estate license at that time, actually. I just didn't use it. I used it for comps and stuff. Uh-huh. So when I heard this, you can flip houses with no money, I was like, God, that is such a scam. I mean, that is so fake. No way. Because I went over it like every way in my head, but ended up going to this 3-day class that she put up the money for, and just found out what wholesaling was. And wholesaling was what changed my life. And that's why I'm so big on wholesaling now with my students and my mentoring group and everything. That should be the baseline of your business, because that's active cash and it's the easiest way to make cash in real estate. And it has saved me so many times. Mm-hmm. But so I learned wholesaling, ended up making $169,000 that first year, and was actually able to, I got out of that storage shed within 30 days of starting wholesaling. And that's how I got into real estate and then got into wholesaling. So I started with rehabbing, and that was cool, but that was like having a job, a big paycheck to big paycheck kind of job.
Yeah.
But it was still like, by the time you're finishing a rehab, if you're just doing rehabs, a lot of times is you're starting to run out of money and you need that next rehab to close. With wholesaling, it generates that steady stream of active income that you can keep going without a lot of risk and without having to wait a long time. And that's kind of how I got into rehabbing and wholesaling. And now we do a little bit of everything, but that's how I got into real estate is coming out of prison that second time and, you know, flipping that house.
I appreciate you being vulnerable and I mean, everybody's got, you know, their history,
backstory,
their past.
Yeah, for sure.
Which makes them who they are today. And, you know, and so it's, I think people need to hear that, because even if, you know, some people maybe have the same thing and they're like, oh, I can't. I know we had a brother that was very similar to that, and he just never could look past that. It was like he is who he is and he would never change. But I think that's great that you took a bad situation and made the best out of it. So.
And I think a lot of times too, when coming out of that, it's like you really don't have a choice, right? Like you're going to do everything in your power. Like there is no plan B, right? And so you have to do everything in your power to, you know, make it happen and be successful if that's what you want.
Yeah. Was there anything that you did that I guess changed your mindset at that? You know, I think it, to me, it's you have to change the way you look a little bit at life or have a different outlook. Is there stuff that you did, maybe like books or reading books or I don't think there was.
And there was probably not podcasts then, but there was infomercials.
Yeah, right. I got into like that kind of business when I was 15 and a half years old. And so I, you know, coming out of prison at the second time at 21, I had always been interested in business before. Mm-hmm. Like literally when I was doing that business, it was like, I always had the mindset of like, I'm gonna make money in this and I'm gonna use that money for something else. I had started a furniture company. I had started a car stereo company. I used to go and buy stun guns and sell them in the newspaper. Like I've always started different kinds of businesses and read a lot of books about business. And back then the infomercials that were big were like Carlton Sheets, Russ Whitney, who is actually how I went to Russ Whitney's seminars.
So did we.
Listening to your story is actually very similar to ours.
We didn't, but
like getting into real estate, our stories are pretty similar. Yeah. Watching that late night commercial.
I actually met him at an event, and I told him the story that I was living in the storage room and went to one of his classes, and that's what, you know, got me going in wholesaling and turned everything around. It was pretty funny, like having a conversation with him about that. I read a lot about it. Even when I was locked up, it's funny because I was teaching people in there about business, and like they would tell me, like when they would get out before me and stuff like that, or the ones that were there when I was leaving, they were like, I'm always gonna remember you, man. I'm gonna do that business and I'm gonna do this. I would tell them all kinds of like, man, dude, like, because it's just entrepreneurialism, right? Like I was like, dude, you could start a car wash business. You know what I mean? You don't need a lot of money to start that. You could do this, you could do that, like all kinds of different things. So I think I always had a good mindset for business. You know, I mean, I used to sell snacks I never went to even high school. I dropped out of, I did 23 days of high school. Wow. And then stopped going. And that's kind of where I met the people that kind of took me down the wrong path. But I sold snacks at school. You know, I take bags of snacks and sell those, buy them and wholesale candy, stuff like that, and sell it. So I think like I've always had that mindset. Yeah. Yeah. And then I had ordered some of the free books online from like Russ Whitney and Carlton Sheets before I got out and went to the seminars and stuff. But yeah, so I really think the biggest mindset shift for me was having a kid. You know what I mean? Like I said, you'll do more for other people than you will for yourself, especially your children. You know what I mean? Y'all have children. Y'all know, like, it's like, I knew I never wanted to be taken away from my family again once he was born, you know? So, I still remember that feeling. So then it was like, man, I can't do anything. I literally was like a 7-time felon. So if I would have gotten in trouble again, I was going away for a long time, especially with the laws back then.
Yeah.
So I knew I had to find something. And he was, you know, my first, well, he was the first one, but now all of them, where my, that's my inspiration. So I think the shift of, I'll do it for the kid, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? My first child, it was way bigger than wanting to do anything for myself.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. That's awesome. Can you just, I mean, it sounds like, you know, you learned through flipping houses and rehabbing, but then you really got into wholesale, that which really took you to another level and really put your path of your career where it is today. But the just so our listeners know, can you explain wholesaling a little bit? I know a lot of people are going to know, but just to take it back to the basics.
We
basic
do have some beginner,
time. Yeah. I mean, really, it's basically finding undervalued properties, like finding a property that's usually off market. Sometimes we find them on market, but usually off market properties where you're dealing direct with a seller and buying it at a, or getting it under contract at a deep discount, so you can sell it to an end investor at a discount. So usually, like, if an investor will want to be in, like, with their repairs and everything for 70%, you know, just rough numbers, sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less, depending on the area, but roughly around 70% with the purchase and the rehab. Mm-hmm. So if you can get it with purchase and rehab cost at 60%, you can make 10% as your profit. Mm-hmm. So if I get a contract on a property for 50,000 or 40,000 and it needs 20,000 in repairs, I can make $10,000 selling that, my rights to that contract, to a buy and hold investor or a flipper. Mm-hmm.
And how do you, I'm taking an elementary level, but like, so how do you find off mark, or how do you find a wholesale deal to, you know, and where do you, what goes into, just so people understand, like, where, what it takes to, cause it's a whole business. So, right. And I want people to understand that, but like, and you run a much larger operation or business than a lot of people. So how do you, find the off market or the wholesale properties, and then also,
and then even going into how do you evaluate them as well, right? What do you look for, and how do you calculate your numbers?
So the, yes, like finding the deals is key, right? Because so what I say, I tell people all the time is like, you, people call me a wholesaler and they're like, oh, you have a wholesaler. Really, I have a wholesaling business now, mm-hmm. but even in, and I don't really do a lot of the acquisition. I have a team. We have acquisitions people, disposition people, but the marketing is the key part of your business. It's a key part of any business, but especially if you're wholesaling. Wholesaling is a marketing, like, that's, you're really just a marketing machine is what mm-hmm. it is, and drumming up a lot of leads. So like when I first started, and this is kind of the evolution of wholesaling, is like, I mean, like I said, I started in wholesaling in 04. So 2004. Back then, what was big was newspaper ads, finding deals on newspaper mm-hmm. ads. The internet was just starting. So there were, you were just starting to have like online classifieds, the stuff like, or it was just starting to blow up and get bigger at that point. But like regular newspapers, online classifieds and newspapers, and bandit signs were real big for me when I started. I like, that was my marketing. And now shift to today, bandit signs. And then you went through a phase where direct mail was really big. You know what I mean? Like the main thing. And I love direct mail because it is scalable, but the cost has gone up as everybody started doing it.
Right.
So with that evolution of bandit signs and online classifieds through direct mail, now we're at a point where bandit signs don't really work because the city will take them down. You're going to get fined. I got sued by the city for $22,000 for my bandit signs. And I beat it. I beat it and only had to pay a $500 fine, which to me is just a cost of doing business, right? Because we made over $100,000 a year just from bandit sign, that avenue of marketing. But now our big marketing is cold calling and text message marketing, because it's scalable. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have one caller can hit 300, depend if they have a 10 line dialer or a 3 line dialer or dialing by hand, whatever. You can get 200, 300, up to 1,000 dials per day out of a dialer. So then you can, a cold caller, like, I guess to break it down even better, like, so people know that's somebody who's on the phone calling. We use a lot of virtual assistants, or sometimes we have in-house cold callers. And then you can scale that by, okay, now I have 4 cold callers and they can each do those numbers. But text messaging is probably my favorite right now because you could drop 500 text messages in a day, just as easy as you can drop 5,000 text messages in a day. And you don't have to necessarily be in the city where you're marketing. Like we're marketing, we just started marketing in North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida. We just did our first deal in Florida, generated $18,500 on a wholesale deal there. Working on a deal in Memphis or Arkansas, something like that. You know what I mean? So the marketing is definitely the key, and the scalable marketing is what I like for growing and scaling your business. Mm-hmm. And I also love the fact that if you're just getting started, you can start cold calling off your cell phone or text messaging from your phone until you hit a deal, make five, 10 grand, and then put some money into your marketing budget and get you a 1, 2, 3, 10 line dialer or whatever, and then scale up, or a text messaging platform.
And how do you go about like evaluating the deals, knowing it's a good deal? You know, just high level. Cause you know, especially since you're doing it like out of state and in other markets, like I'm sure you never see the property. So how does that all work?
Right. Yeah. A lot of times, I mean, I've never been seen one in person, but I don't even see them online. Sometimes the team does. So it's really like doing the out of state stuff has gotten, it's actually helped us refine our way of doing offers. So usually we would pull up comps, and we have a system that pulls up comps, or if you don't have a comps, system or MLS access, you could use Zillow, or something like that. And we would look at the three lowest sales from the past 2 years. Mm-hmm. So we went 2 years back because we know 2 years ago was obviously way lower. And so we look for the three lowest comps in the last 2 years. And then we would go minus repairs from that if ours was in much worse shape than those. Gotcha. So that kind of gives us a safe estimate. But what I'm telling my team now is if we're looking at out of state stuff, we look at Zillow, we look at the Zestimate, and we do 60% of the Zestimate minus repairs. Mm-hmm. So just to make it a quick offer, and that way we know we're at a pretty safe offer price range, and then it gives us room to get beat up by the seller. Yeah. So we can get beat up by the seller and still probably land at a pretty good price if they're motivated.
Okay. That's great.
And now what about repairs? How are you comping repairs or evaluating repairs? Do you use do you based upon a certain house price per square foot, or do you have somebody look at it, or?
We're doing price per square foot. So we have a rule of thumb. If it's like just a cosmetic kind of cleanup, we're doing like $15 a square foot. If it needs one major thing, like a roof or foundation or something like that, you know, one of the major five, like HVAC, roof, foundation, electrical or plumbing. If it needs one of those, we're doing about $25 a square foot. $25 to $30 a square foot, depending on the range of how, like if it's a middle income kind of home, or if it's a nicer home, we go a little bit higher, like $30. And if it's a full gut rehab, we're doing like $50 a square foot, $55 a square foot. Now that's a lot, mm-hmm. but we're trying to be very safe in our offer and get it. It also helps us kind of pad the offer to where, you know, if we get somebody in there and they think they can do it for less, sometimes we make more on the wholesale side of it, the assignment fee.
Do you actually physically close on the homes, or do you just tie it up with a contract and then?
We just tie them up with a contract. We do a lot of wholesaling where we're just assigning. In some cases, we have had to do double closings. Mm-hmm. Like if it's like some states want you to do double closings, but mostly if there's like a realtor involved or something like that, and we don't want any trouble and it's going to be a big assignment. And even then, like I've had assignments of like $50, $80,000 and we've just done an assignment. We don't mm-hmm. worry about the double close, but if we think there's going to be a problem, we do a double close. Like we had a student that did a $100,000 assignment fee and we recommended they do a double close. You know, it was worth the extra $3,000-$4,000 to do a $100,000 double close and not risk the buyer or the seller finding out what we're making. Cause usually the seller won't find out. Especially in Texas, cause we have blind HUDs where the mm-hmm. seller doesn't know what you're making on it or what's going on, that the buyer and the seller see their sides of the HUD. But this was it was actually kind of a local celebrity who bought this property and we didn't want to trigger them or anything like that. So, yeah.
Do you think, in your opinion, do you feel like wholesaling eventually is going to require you to have a real estate license? Do you think we're going to get there? Or just
state? Texas is going to be a little bit harder than the other states. I know there are a few states that do that. I think maybe it's Ohio or Utah, mm-hmm. stuff like that. There's a couple. I think eventually they're trying to push it through everywhere. It might take some years to happen here in Texas and a lot of other states that are like us, you know, that are a little more
conservative.
But I do believe they're trying to push that.
Yeah.
But like I've told people, is like wholesaling will never go away.
Yeah.
Like, because technically, if you're getting it under market and even if you have to close on it, if you get a good enough deal, you'll be able to make money on it that way. You just may have to find another avenue. Mm-hmm. And it's about who's going to be more creative.
Mm-hmm.
It's like with any business, like when there's, it's like with COVID and everything that happened, you know how many people got put out of business because of COVID in real estate? And they were like, oh my God, it ruined everything that I was doing. I couldn't do business. But who emerged out and grew through COVID was who was creative and who pivoted in their business.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I think it's just a matter of that. It's like if they made it to where you have to have a real estate license, because back when I started, I had a real estate license and I just disclosed it on everything. Mm-hmm. And it really didn't matter. Like, you just, disclosure is the biggest thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But if they say, oh, you got to be a realtor and you have to double close, like that's just part of what you got to do. You just got to, you know, negotiate enough profit to where you can cover the double closing and still make a good profit.
Yeah. Learning how to adapt no matter, you know, which way it turns, for sure. Yeah. We have a lot of listeners that are thinking about starting their own businesses. AC, what advice would you give them?
Ooh, yeah. I mean, so the biggest shift for me, like I said, is I went to that 3-day class and I say educate yourself. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying it just because I'm a mentor, but get a mentor. Even if it's not me, it needs to be somebody, and make sure they're doing the business. You know, there's a lot of people out there that I know guys in the industry. Like I've seen them at my events. I've seen them places. And I know they've done 4 deals or 3 deals and they're offering coaching. You know what I mean? And they're like, I can show you how to do this. And I'm like, man, I didn't start coaching and mentoring people till 2012.
Right.
So I had done, you know, hundreds of deals. I've done over 1500 deals now, transactions, real estate transactions.
Wow.
I had done hundreds by the time I started trying to tell people what I was doing and show them and teach them.
Mm-hmm.
So I see people doing 2 or 3 deals and all of a sudden they have a course that comes out and it's like, wow. You know?
Yep.
So if it's not me or anybody, you know, whoever you're going with, just make sure they're doing real estate.
Yeah.
Totally agree with that. And I think like every guest that we have on this show, I don't care who it is, they always talk about the coaching, the mentoring, getting educated, right? Yeah, I mean, that's what made all of us.
Or even go working for, I think they work for somebody, you know, that's in that same industry, you know, and learn.
Well, just look at us. Like I met y'all in a mastermind.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Like, you know what I mean? And people like, I mean, and
after we had done thousands of deals ourselves, yeah, we were still in a mastermind.
I had done lots of deals. You had done lots of and when I went to that mastermind, it's like if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room, right?
Mm-hmm.
To start with.
Mm-hmm.
But I had already done hundreds of deals, you know, probably 1,000 by that time. I was coaching people, mentoring people, and I was still joined that mastermind where we met. And y'all know that wasn't a cheap mastermind.
Mm-hmm.
It's you're investing in your education, because when you stop educating yourself, that's when you really start to lose, right? Your 100%. Business, you know, you're not on the cutting edge and knowing stuff and learning stuff. I still invest a lot in my education and learning stuff. So people think, oh, once you get it, it's a done deal. It's like, no, you're always trying to go to that next level.
Yep. Yeah. I love that you like to give back to the community. You know, I mean, you've learned a lot throughout the years and now you've kind of started your own mentorship and coaching program. Tell us a little bit about that. And I know you have an event coming up too. I would love to hear more about that as well.
Yeah. We have a mastermind group. So it's evolved over the years. You know, COVID actually helped us evolve it where we have students now all over the country. So I have some students in Seattle, some in Canada. That was kind of the funny thing to me. Like some people join from Canada, Florida and the Carolinas, you know, Oklahoma, Phoenix. But that's because we have now been able to go more virtual. You know, we have a lot of online portals. I'm able to stream. So I had never done a Zoom before COVID. And now I'm not the expert on Zoom, but I know how I can push the buttons and get around now and get on there. But yeah, it's we have a huge group here in Houston, though, that we started in 2012. And there was nobody else coaching in 2012, especially locally. Mm-hmm. And we have the honor of we've helped a lot of people make millions of dollars in real estate. I believe of local coaching groups, we have created, I don't have the numbers or anything like that, but I know we have a very high success rate and we have a lot of our students that became millionaires through real estate. Mm-hmm. And some of them are even, you know, out there coaching and teaching now. So it's like that's a good legacy, right? When you got people that go on and evolve past just what you're teaching them and stuff, and they go out and help other people. But yeah, we've created a lot of people, make a lot of money. We have a lot of students doing six figures a year just by cloning and copying, right? Mm-hmm. I believe like that's what it's about, is a lot of these people out here kind of show you a little bit and then they leave out the most important parts. It's like when you come to one of our events or you're in my mastermind, I'm going to show you exactly what we're doing. And I want you to copy it. And I want you to copy it because one, I have an abundance mindset. A lot of people don't have an abundance mindset, but do you know how many people die just in Harris County every month and own property? And that something has to be done with. There's 4,000 deaths every month in Harris County, at least, or something like that. They were saying 4,000 divorces. And then how many people are tired landlords every day that just wake up and have been, man, I've owned this property for 20 or these 20 properties for 25 years now. It's time to move on. I'm moving to Costa Rica and retiring. You know what I mean? Like they're just done.
Or the wife. I'm almost there.
Yeah, that'll be us in a few years.
Give us a call. Right?
You know what I mean? So it's just kind of like people think that these deals are going to run out. Like people ask, the biggest question I get a lot of times like about that is it saturated? Are there too many people doing wholesaling? And I said, well, not really, because usually wholesalers, like I said, I'm not really a wholesaler. We have a wholesaling company, but like people that do it on their own and wholesale can make a lot of money. I got students like making $1 million a year, one or two people teams, right? And then some people have like a whole team of acquisition people. And like, I think one of our biggest students is doing like 3 million or more per year, but it's kind of how you want to fit it. But most wholesalers, they evolve out of wholesaling. They start using their cash to buy properties that bring cash flow, and then they live off the cash flow and depreciate, and they pull out tax-free money, that kind of stuff. So a lot of wholesalers evolve out of wholesaling. Mm-hmm. So one, that keeps it from being saturated. And then two, like I said, if you know how to market and you know who to market to, you're not going to run out of leads. You know what I mean? Like I said, there's deaths, there's tired landlords, you know, there's, you know, everything else, all kinds of motivated sellers popping up every day that are not going to go away.
Yeah. Let me say how having an abundance mindset, because that is so true. Like, you know, I know like some of, and it's probably same for you, you know, some of our biggest competitors are our good friends as well, right? Because there's so much out there for everybody. Like, you don't, we've copied everything from all of our mentors and, you know, good friends, and there's still a lot for everybody, right? And so having that abundance mindset is key.
Yeah. I mean, that mastermind we were part of, there was what, three or four?
In Houston.
In Houston. And it wasn't nobody, you know, we're all good friends. We all, you know, it's very similar businesses, but it, there's plenty of deals to go around.
Yes. For
sure. Tell us, what are you doing? You know, cause we're obviously, you've lived through 7 and 8 and those times. Mm-hmm. So like, what are you doing? Is there anything you're doing to change, you know, the recession that we're headed into or in, and what are you doing right now? The, you know, things have changed rapidly, you know, interest rates have risen quickly. So what are you doing in your business? Anything you're changing, anything you're hedging against or being mindful of? And I'm curious, did you lower your, I guess the way you evaluate deals, have you adjusted at all, or, you know, what are you doing on that side?
Well, as far as the adjusting for the prices and stuff, it's just going a little bit lower. We're being more conservative with pricing and stuff like that. But the biggest thing I learned from 08, 09, when that market happened, and there was, were y'all already in Houston at that time?
Yes. Yeah, we went through that as well. Yep.
So there was a lot of wholesalers. There was a lot of big name wholesalers, like, you know, I mean, like people that I was like, because I started wholesaling in 04. I got a pretty good reputation real fast, started doing a lot of deals. We were doing like 100 deals a year wholesaling. So I got known and be on these panels with these other wholesalers and stuff like that in groups and stuff. And there was probably like 25 to probably 40 wholesalers that were known, and you would see at different events that were actually making pretty good money. And that market knocked out most of them. I think I could count the wholesalers that were left after that market. And I luckily was one of them. And I remember the biggest shift or the biggest thing that helped me in that was I started realizing, like, man, we're getting a lot more deals. We're going to kill it, because like we started getting more deals when the market went down, but we couldn't sell them. And so the thing I started focusing on, I was like, I started spending more money on my marketing for buyers than I did for sellers, because deals were left and right. But I realized that the buyers changed.
Yeah.
Like, because every rehabber was out of business. Every rehabber went out of business. You know what I mean? But the buy and hold people, and what it was, I sold a deal to this older guy, this older gentleman. And I was like, why are you buying? Like, nobody else is buying right. He's like, I'm going to tell you something. He's like, and he was older. And he was like, in the 80s, when the market went down, he's like, I used every dollar I had. I borrowed every dollar I could from friends, family, banks, anybody, private lenders, anybody that would lend to me. And I bought $2 million in property when the market went down.
Wow.
He's like, within 2 years, the market had come back up. He's like, by the end of 5 years, I had sold them all off, and I doubled my money. So I made $2 million. I was $2 million liquid at that point, after paying everybody back. And he's like, and I see the same thing happening now. And it triggered me. I was like, I need more guys like this. And so I started marketing to people that owned a lot of rental properties, because those are the buy and hold guys. And like, I was selling all the flippers and rehabbers before, and then I shifted and started spending all my marketing to go after landlords, buy and hold guys. And that's kind of what I see now. And now it's like, there's some hedge funds out there, stuff like it. There's a little few changes that are different now, but your buyers is who you need to go after and build your buyers list stronger. Because I don't know if y'all are starting to see it, but deals are starting to pop up a little bit more. I'm seeing people get more motivated. Now, you still got the people that are stuck where, well, my house is worth this, and they're stuck 2 years ago.
Right.
But that's going to fade away. Mm-hmm. And I do believe we are in a recession. And I believe not everybody believes it, because they're being brainwashed by mass media. And it's like, oh, look, all the jobs are great. And it's like, well, you need to talk to some people on the street then. Yeah. You know, see what's really going on.
Yeah.
There, something is happening. And I don't think it's going to be good, right? You know what I mean? Like, not for the everyday person. Yeah. I think it's going to be good for investors. I think it's going to be good for, like, look at Chase Bank when they raised a bunch of money to start buying, right? Why would they do that? You know what I mean? They see what's coming, and they, you know what I mean? They want to be a buy and hold person or buy and hold entity. Like, they want to stack up on properties. Like, what is it? BlackRock, the other big one. So like just look at what's going on at a higher level. Like, they know and they're preparing, so you should too. And those are the buyers that we want. Like, those kind of big entities, hedge funds that want to buy and hold, and they got the reserves to do it. And then even your mom and pop people that have been stacking up money waiting for this type of market.
Right.
Yeah. No, I think it's a good point. I think it's a great, I love how you said to shift into and that's what investors don't see half of the time. It's just shifting to focusing on the other side of it.
Yeah.
And yes, there's going to be that gap. And I think we're in that gap still, where reality hasn't sunken in yet. And so you got to weather through that. But yeah, we moved here in 05 and then to Houston. And then we got into the turnkey model in the recession. So we started.
Well, we couldn't sell our rehabs because we would have lost money. So yes. we started selling everything turnkey. Or, I mean, we do the turnkey model or we hold on to them. And we did hold on to some of them and did really well. Just recently sold some of them. So, yeah.
Yeah, but that's how we shifted into, like you said, just into the focusing on the buy and hold investor and doing the turnkey model. So, and yeah, I think we are headed there and in that same cycle again. So, yeah. What would you do or what advice would you give yourself if you could go back to when you were in your early 20s? Maybe when you were just getting out of prison, what advice would you have given yourself? What have you learned or is there anything you would have done differently knowing what you know today?
I would have done more marketing.
Yeah.
So like, I look at it like this. I kind of look at the numbers part of things, right? Is like, I didn't have enough education, right? So I didn't know enough at the time, right? So I started slowly. So the one thing, if I could go back and tell myself at 21, when I was getting out and did that first property was, one, I would have educated myself to do wholesaling, you know what I mean? Like to be able to make more quick cash and be able to keep that active income. Like I said, wholesaling has saved my tail so many times. Like I do buy and hold now, and we've done some apartments and stuff like that. And some of those haven't gone the way I expected, right? You know what I mean? Like we put more into repairs, our holding costs are kicking our butt or something. Well, that wholesaling income helps with that, especially when you're generating, you know, 30, 50,000, 100,000 in a month wholesaling, that'll help cover, oh, this 18 grand we went over on this repairs on this property, 7,000 we need for holding costs this month on some properties. So I would have trained myself or told myself to get some more education on wholesaling and learn how to have a steady stream of wholesaling leads and how to do more, like how to market better, how to scale those numbers. That's like, and that's what I tell my students all the time is like, it's know your numbers, like what the numbers you know and the numbers you focus on are what grows. Yeah. Right?
Awesome. Yeah. And I've heard you say that before, so I love that. Yeah. Yeah, so something that we always ask our guests is, what's your next? What are you looking to accomplish in the next 5 to 10 years?
Ooh, that's kind of tricky. It kind of changes all the time, right? I think I do want to buy and hold more, right? I need to refine the system for that because, like I said, we do buy and hold. We just started buying small apartments about a year ago. Sometimes that works out good and sometimes it's not as like the way you expect it. So refining those systems on buying and holding and stacking up doors, you know, I mean, like wholesaling is like active income. That's what I tell my students in the mastermind group and stuff is that's your job. Like if you don't have a job, if you're a CPA and you're making good money or you're an engineer and you're making good money, then you have, that's your job and you make money and take your money and invest it in deals and buy and hold and stuff. But if you don't, and you're full-time in real estate, wholesaling is your job. That's where you can generate active income. Flips are where you make bigger chunks of money when the market allows. And even in a down market, you can make big chunks on a flip. You just got to buy better and be more on top of your timelines and your budget and everything. So, but that's your big chunks of money, you know, that are kind of bonus chunks and you stack it on top of your active income. But the wealth, like true wealth, if you look at, you know, the United States and most millionaires, the true wealth comes from buy and hold. You know what I mean? That's where, because you're making money while you sleep, like equity's going up, you got cash flow covering the note. So sometimes you cash flow a little bit, or maybe you're pulling out equity tax-free once a year or something like that and living off that and letting it grow. But wealth is built by buy and hold. Your job is like making the money every day is like wholesaling. And then your chunks is like flipping.
I agree 100%. So, how can people get, in touch with you, get a hold of you to work with you either to join, or look into joining your mastermind group or your, one of your events coming up? How can they get a hold of you?
Awesome. Well, if you want to more information about our mastermind, we have prosperitygroup.com/application. And that's where you can, there's a landing page there, tells you a little bit more about our group and you can fill out an application and we'll have a strategy call and see if it's a good fit because I like to check everybody out and see first what their goals are and if it's in alignment with what we do. You know, we don't just take on anybody because I'm not just trying to take on people. I want people who actually understand that, and it is work, right? Mm-hmm. And you're going to, but instead of working for somebody else, you should be working for yourself, right? So you can go to prosperitygroup.com/application for mastermind information. But we do have a 3-day event coming up in March 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And for that, you can go to prosperitygroup.com/bootcamp. So it is one day is a networking kind of mixer, like on Friday night. And then Saturday and Sunday is intensive training where we're literally breaking down all of our systems and processes in our business.
Awesome. And that's going to be in Houston, correct?
Yes, that's in Houston. Yes.
Awesome. Well, we'll put all those links and everything in our show notes, and we appreciate today. Yeah, we appreciate you taking the time, and anything we can do for you, please let us know.
Yes, and thank you so much for adding so much value to our listeners today. They're going to love it. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank y'all for having me. I love it. Thanks.
Awesome. Well, everybody, if you're looking to get some mentorship or get into real estate, please check AC Ramos's webpage, and we'll have all the prosperity information in our notes. And otherwise, we'll see y'all next week.
See you, everyone.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.